Radio.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent,
it is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Hero.
How you doing, Mike?
Hello, everyone. Jolan True. My name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. And we're going to talk about, this is part two of our fantastic series on the best movie of all time. That being Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, before Jason can answer.
What are you laughing at?
Something ridiculous. It is absolutely true. And I have empirical evidence, not the Empire, not Star Wars empirical, but empirical evidence that it is the best because I saw it. I would it with my own eyes.
I would it.
Last Tuesday for the 35th anniversary of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And I was joined by whom?
Michelle Nichols?
No, you. Introduce yourself.
I don't...
God, I hope Nichelle Nichols would be on this. That'd be great. No. Who are you? Identify yourself.
Kim Miller.
Kim Miller, the doctor. Not Kim Miller, but the doctor.
The doctor.
You already gave my full name away.
You're so upset by that. Why are you so upset? I don't understand.
What, weirdos bothering me?
You should only give Flib a dip.
Yeah, my name, yeah. Has anyone bothered you about your middle name?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Tell me.
Continue. Introduce Jason.
Yes.
Yes,
over
introduce
here.
Me.
We have who?
Nichelle Nichols.
Nichelle Nichols. Deep-voiced Nichelle Nichols.
Known Hello, for her
everybody.
Rich baritone.
We have a communication coming in, Captain.
We have midshipman.
It is me, Jason McCarris. And I was Ooh. Also there for this 35th anniversary screening. Also for the 25th
under protest.
Anniversary screening.
Yes.
No, it was not under protest.
Actually, Stop Jason that. bought tickets.
Oh, no, he didn't.
No,
I bought the ticket.
Mike bought tickets.
Why would you?
I understand why you're so easily confused. But...
Mike doesn't have a shirt on. Nothing makes sense.
It's really hot. It's really hot here in the valley. I do one altruistic thing every 10 years, and Kim forgets about it. I bought them tickets. I bought her and Jason and Matt Stompy Thompson tickets.
Yep.
And Kim and Jason Thank drove up from you. San Diego. It is at the
yes,
Chinese
we
Theater.
We both drove up from San Diego.
I said they drove up.
Yes, you said Kim and Jason. It was not... I live here.
Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This is all good podcasting when we all talk over each other. I like this.
That's how it always is.
Yes, this is true. All right, so we went to see Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, at... The Chinese Theater, Grauman's Chinese, Man's Chinese. Now it's, what is it? It's China's Chinese Theater. I like
no,
the Chinese have bought it, right?
No, it's a different company now.
Someone's bought it. Doesn't matter. The Chinese Theater bought it.
TBCY Chinese Theater.
TBCY. The country's best theaters.
The country's best yogurt.
Yeah. And this was great because, you know, it hadn't really been, like, screened for the past 10 years. And
no, I'm sorry, I did remember. It's the TCL. It's a let's give them their proper plug.
The TCL,
whatever that is.
I think yeah, they make TVs or something like that.
What the oh, man?
You know, Asians.
It's a terrible podcast.
Yeah, this podcast is really.
So we've gotten off to a rousing start.
It's taken us 5 minutes to say what we did. So.
So we watched the movie.
This is why I podcast alone now, everyone. This is, if you want to know, it's because this train wreck happens because we have three different microphones in three different universes, and we can't hear a word.
I'm in the Kelvin universe.
You are in the Kelvin universe, yeah.
You would be.
Star Trek Beyond is airing everywhere now. It's on Crackle, on Hulu, everything.
It's on Amazon.
Yes.
It's yeah, on, for free. I know that, well, if you have a Prime subscription. I did see that, actually, now that you mentioned it. There was some big push recently.
It was on, Spectrum, Time Warner Cable, as a, you know, on demand for free. And so I feel like Paramount is really trying to recoup their losses by just jettisoning them this out there to try and make some money back.
I know it's going to be on CBS All Access as well. They're adding it to...
oh, are they really?
Library. Yeah. I think that's part of it.
Speaking of which, we actually have news you can use. Star Trek Discovery has an official launch date.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yes, it was just released today, and that will be September 24th. So, not so badly damaged as we were led to believe. Here's the big caveat, because I was like, wow, that's pretty soon. They must have gotten their act together. But here's the caveat, is that they're splitting the season into two halves.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing that, quite obviously, because they don't have their act together still in the second half. I know this. Yeah. We know this.
Yeah.
Because we saw Nicholas Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had nothing to say about it. So,
well, yeah, literally.
he did have nothing to say. When asked about it, he literally didn't say a word about the.
Yes, series, but he did a kind of a poorly received pantomime bit where he mouthed words but didn't say anything. Prepared for a wave of laughter to wash over him.
Everybody hated him.
Yeah. Well, I will say that sort of like this podcast, it was the people on stage were like four different people talking about four different things all at the same time.
Well, can we go into the whole night a little bit? Because it was quite an entertaining evening for none of the reasons we expected them to be.
Okay, yes.
So we arrived at the theater, and as we're getting our concessions and nonsense after, you know, a whole big haranguing of trouble between the four of us, which always happens when we go to an event. So
yes.
We get to the theater and we're getting our concessions, and who shows up there in the lobby?
Michelle Nicholson.
Yes, and Nicholas Meyer both. They were both out there and kind of taking pictures with fans and greeting them, which was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was cool. It was great to see. I mean, you know, Nichelle's had a stroke, and the last time we saw her, the three of us, was for the Star Trek Beyond premiere, and she was, Jason and I met her about 10 years ago. And she was delightful. She was wonderful and just really
just great.
Funny, smart, sexy, all those things. And she still is there, but there's a step missing. It seems like, you know, age and that. Am I wrong on that, Jason, or no? What do you think?
Well, that's difficult to say. It's hard when you've suffered a physical ailment. It's not all that you can do about that.
No, I'm not.
She's still sexy.
Yeah. Why aren't you still sexy?
Well, no, she's still sexy. I'm just saying that it's sad.
Age and physical limitations. That's always hard. You know, when you grow up watching somebody and they mean that much to you, and then when they age and time kind of take their toll, it's unfortunate. But at the same time, she's still the same person.
She's well.
Fabulous. Yeah.
She's doing okay.
That she's had a stroke, she's able to walk for a short distance. She's can talk. She knows where she is. I mean, she's not completely incapacitated.
Well, I'm not saying that she's, you know, like in one of the wheelchairs with the beeping lights. You know, I mean, she was there. She was great. But it is true. The time is the fire we all burn, and she was a little bit slower. And it sort of added to the chaos on the stage. Anyway, so we saw her there, and then we saw Nicholas Meyer.
There was a little bit of confusion as to where the theaters were, because I guess the web ticket said one theater name, and our tickets that were printed out said another. So as we're trying to navigate to our theater, somebody walks in, another guy that we were nearby, and he goes, "That's not it. The Mummy is playing in this theater." So Nichelle Nichols, who is going into an elevator to some VIP room with a bunch of people, is heading into the elevator, and Mike yells out, "Nichelle, don't see the Mummy. Come with us."
You're like, "Where's she going? Well, I want to go there."
Well, this is the weird thing.
She appreciated the attention.
Yeah. She went in an elevator and presumably went up, but maybe she went down now I think about it, because the theater that we were at had no balcony. I don't know where she went to. She got in an elevator.
On the other side of the building. It wasn't even near where the elevator was.
Yeah, it was so far away. She gets in the strip. Maybe it was a turbo lift. Maybe it went to the side. Who knows? You know what I mean?
She got in and pulled on the handle.
It just went to the side. But Yeah, it was weird because she got in this weird elevator with this dude in a tuxedo, and that guy was a jackass. We have to point out that there was a.
I think he works at the theater, but we won't give too much grief. But yeah, he was pretty awful.
So, podcast fans, so you know, I asked the creators of this event. I think it's, what is it, Monster Party, Mad Monster? What is it called?
Yeah, shoot, I forget. Monster. Yeah.
Who cares? Yes, they said no. I offered to podcast. I said, hey, can I podcast like in the theater right afterwards? And they said, no, this is our event. We've paid for it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fine. And then they get this jackass in a tuxedo who asks the worst questions.
He really did.
No one wanted to know them.
Yeah.
So, Nichelle, how did you get involved in Star Trek? Like, oh, my God. Really? I mean, and then she misanswered it.
No one ever asked me that.
Yeah. And then she answers something strange. So,
you know, leading up to that point, we've seen Nichelle Nichols. She gets in the elevator. We figure out which theater it actually is in. We get seated. And I guess we did know about this ahead of time, but it's very cool nonetheless. They showed Space Seed first.
Yes.
Before Wrath of Khan. So the episode got started a little late, shall we say? I mean, what the screening was supposed to start at 8. I think it was about 8:25, and nothing started happening yet. We're going to watch a television show, have a panel, and a movie screening. So Mike took it upon himself to jot down and walk down in front of the entire audience of this packed house at the Chinese Theater and said, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mike McCafferty, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this, why this hasn't started yet.
I have nothing to do with the theater.
I have nothing to do with it. People cheered. People were like, yeah.
Well, it had been about, it was 8:25 when I did that. And everyone's sitting around, they're playing the Star Trek II Wrath of Khan soundtrack, which was nice the first time. And then by the time we're listening, you know, to Surprise Attack the second time, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
what was going through your mind at that point?
One drink. That's
kind of what I was leaning towards.
Yes, blood alcohol was, 1.1. 0.01. That's what was going through my mind, Jason. It was...
So Mike leaves after saying this to the audience. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Walks away for approximately 30 seconds. Walks right back in front of the entire theater once again and says, ladies and gentlemen, I've gotten to the bottom of this. The answer is soon.
Did you actually talk to anyone or did you just walk out?
No, I did. I walked out and there was like that table and like the jackass in the tuxedo was there and Nichelle was there and I could see they were getting ready to load her in to the theater.
Torpedo. Load her in.
Proton torpedo case.
Nichelle Nichols armed. Fire. But they were out there. I don't know if they were selling something or what, but I was like, hey, are we going to start the movie? And like Tuxedo was like, yeah, they're starting soon. We're starting soon. I'm like, okay.
All right. That's the answer you needed.
That was the answer I needed. So, and then five minutes later.
It was quite funny. And I do have the whole thing on video, so we'll put it on the Star Trek page at some point.
Yes.
Be entertained by you in front of the audience at the Chinese theater.
If you want to see this nonsense.
This is not the actual Chinese theater. It's kind of the offshoot next door where they have a multiplex. So we shouldn't lead people to believe that we were in the giant Chinese theater with the handprints out.
No, but we should say that they did move it from the smaller theater to the larger theater.
Yeah.
Which then kind of backfired because it wasn't a full theater. It was it was 75% full, I'd say.
Yeah.
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 Although Kim got to share a seat with somebody.
Share a seat. I sat on his lap.
One cheek on, one cheek off.
Well, this is our friend who was worried about the mummy, who had gotten the wrong ticket, right?
Yeah, wrong theater. Yes.
Yeah, so you got to share a seat next to him, and that was good.
He was quite entertained by your antics.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's well.
We heard from a few people in the crowd that when they saw us start to film you, they thought you were like somebody famous, so they were like, oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, you also left out that there were a few people wearing the sixth film uniforms, the red uniform.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And he went down to have them take Mike's photo.
Yeah.
Great. He asked them for a photo, assuming, of course, that they were like, oh, he wants to take a photo with us. Mike just wanted them to take his photo by himself.
I did just hand them the camera. There was a long pause while they were staring at a vision of me and my camera, and then they're like, oh, okay, got it. And they took a picture of me. We'll post that, too. It's I've seen those guys around before. They wear the monster maroon Star Trek 2 and 6 outfits.
Yeah.
So already the preamble was a little off as far as watching this show.
Slightly. So we were about a half hour behind.
Yes.
And they started Space Seed, which was awesome, I have to say. I mean, because I've only seen it once before.
Oh, yes.
It was very cool to watch that and Khan back to back. In fact, the first time I watched Space Seed, I did bring up Khan on my Apple TV, and I started watching just because I wanted to see sort of the continuity. So that was very cool to see on the big screen. And they took a vote as to whether we wanted to see the restored version or the original version.
Yes.
I voted for original.
You voted for original, Kim?
Yeah, I wanted to see that. I haven't seen that in ages.
Yeah. Oh, I voted for restored. It just enhances it for me. It's such a subtle thing, but you know.
Well, the music, the sound, everything is better. But I was kind of curious myself to see the original since I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
of course, it wouldn't be in high def, so we'd be watching like you know a 480p file projected on screen. It would have been probably awful.
Oh yeah, that's true. I didn't realize that. I mean, would it be in standard definition? Or would they? I mean,
I would think so. I don't think they've restored the original version without special effects.
This is probably
true. I could be wrong. But.
Yeah, this is probably true. Yeah. Well, then I'm glad we did that because we did all. It was about a 35-65 split between.
Yeah,
original and enhanced, and I think probably the people who were going for enhanced, it might have been 50-50. People who were enhanced were like, yeah, they're a lot more vocal. So,
yeah.
But that was, you're right. If there was the high point of the night, it was really watching Space Seed on a big screen.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
it was actually, oh boy, when we got to the bad stunt guys fighting, oh, it was glorious on a huge screen.
It has been such a meme and such a trope about how badly the stunt doubles are in Star Trek and how obvious it is, even on standard definition, when they swap them out. But I tell you what, when you see it like in, you know...
50-foot screen.
50-foot screen. What was that? That wasn't 4K, was it, Jason? It was like 1080 or something?
It would be 1080 probably, but it was really good looking, yeah.
Really, really good cut. And man, there were just Kirk and or Shatner and Montalban are fighting, and then two random dudes in all the far shots start fighting with wigs on. Man, it is so bad.
And you can see them clear as day because the screen is so huge.
Yes, their faces were so indelibly not Shatner and Montalban.
Yeah.
And then they go to the close up, and there they are again. So
yeah.
that was fun. That was fun to share that with an audience of about like 200 people.
Yeah.
But Space Seed. I had forgotten how good that was.
Yeah, it's a very good episode.
Yeah. Kim, thoughts?
And, yeah. Doctor?
Yes, it's outstanding. I always am... People make fun of William Shatner for so long for about his acting, but he was really good in the original series, occasionally.
Yes.
Once in a blue moon, he was very good.
Well, here's...
No, I mean, he just has these standout moments.
Well, there is evidence, I mean, once in a while, that he was...
And in the film too, I was reminded.
He was like supposed to be this huge Shakespearean, like tremendous actor.
Yes,
and before Star Trek, and I think his career kind of went a different direction.
He was known for being good. He was known for doing Shakespeare, which doesn't automatically make you good. But
well, he was.
Well, from what I've read, he was actually quite good, and I think his career kind of just took a weird right turn when he went into television.
He was one of the. He's been one of the few Broadway actors to be on Broadway in two different shows at the same time. He did two different roles in two different plays.
Something, Julie or Mark Anthony or something like
that. Maybe, yeah. And there was one time when he was actually in the beginning of one play, and then he'd drive over or, like, I don't know, take a cab over to the next theater and do the second half of the second
really?
Play.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
When he was young, he was that much in demand. He was, you know, I mean, from a theater perspective. And then they got him a TV, and then the problem started. So, and it's like
we need to talk to. I don't want to jump the gun here, but we need to talk a little bit about the panel discussion when it came to Shatner.
Well, yeah,
Nicholas Meyers defending of him.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, here's
but
what
anyway.
I'll,
so yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say. I mean, you're right. Is that Shatner was great in this, and on the big screen, he's even better. And
yeah.
I think one of the reasons is that you have someone like Ricardo Montalban, who was a big actor as well, just taking up so much acting space that Shatner didn't have to do that much. At least he felt he didn't have to. Because most of the time he's just staring at him, you know? Montalban's the one big crazy one. He's like, you know, we had a right to take over the world. You know what I mean? It's like, and then Shatner just, you just get a reaction shot. And it's like, oh, that's some pretty good acting. Well, he's not doing anything, you know? So,
sit
yeah.
Down and entertain me.
Yeah. Kim, why don't you take on the role of Marla MacGyvers and talk to me about gender issues in the 1960s, because there were definitely some moments.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know where to begin. I don't know. It would be weird if it weren't like that, because it's such a... also, it's such a part of Star Trek.
Well, this one especially, and again, like... Khan is such a strong character, and he literally bends MacGyver to his will. He literally makes her kneel down and coerces her. And it gets kind of on the edges of an abusive relationship, pretty close. But
apparently loving it.
Well, you know, I have no place to speak on this, but that also elicited some laughter from the audience, too.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That in the 1960s, that was sexy. And in 2017, it's like, you could go to jail for that, just so you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Space jail.
Space jail. So, yeah, it was a great episode, and I kind of wished they had gone straight from Space Seed into Star Trek II.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the problem, was that at that point, they had started at maybe like 8:30, 8:35 or something like that. And by the time we were getting ready to start Wrath of Khan, it was almost 10.
Yes.
I think at that point, I knew they figured, you know, I don't think they're going to have Nichelle Nichols stick around until 2 in the morning to do a Q&A. She's just not in that kind of health.
Yeah.
And I don't know about anybody else. I'm sure if Nicholas Meyer stuck around, actually. Until the end of the movie, which was very cool.
That didn't surprise
me.
She
didn't watch the movie, right?
I don't know. She's
very into it, obviously.
Did Nichelle Nichols stick around or no?
No, I didn't.
Maybe she just watched the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was definitely there for Space Seed, because they did the Q&A directly. Actually, it was a very cool moment. They ushered her into her seat for the screening of Space Seed, and everybody stood up and clapped. And I think we were kind of the ringleaders of the first time we gave her a standing ovation.
Well, I mean, she's the only surviving member of the original cast who was there.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I mean, 50 years later, let's give her a standing ovation. Yeah. You know,
although I think by the second time we give her a second standing ovation, Mike was kind of like, we've done it.
Yeah, I was a little, well, the second
one. He finally got up. But.
Fickle fan.
I'm a fickle fan.
We've done
she's
our
not sexy digits. Anymore.
No, she's very sexy. Nichelle Nichols is very sexy. And when Jason and I interviewed her for her, what is that show, that movie? Lady Magdalene's Ladies or something like that?
No, I think it was just Lady Magdalene's. Like, that was the name of the
Lady
whorehouse.
Magdalene's Ladies.
Yeah. It's a terrible movie. It is a...
That's not going far enough. It is beyond, I don't know if you can classify it as a movie.
Such a bad. It's such a bad experience. It's worth watching.
None of this is her fault.
No. Her fault. Yeah. She was fine in it. She was. I mean, you know, she sang. She acted. She did great. But then the rest of the film, when you cut away from her,
oh my god!
I can't even. I mean, they go into a gun range to have a love scene. They have a musical number in a buffet.
The trailer and some selected scenes are available on YouTube. So if you want to check it out, look up Nichelle Nichols' Lady Magdalene's.
Yes.
You'll see.
Yeah, we did a little bit of a deep dive on that. But when Jason and I watched that movie afterwards, she was so attractive. I felt like I could have kissed her right there and and gone to jail. And because 2007, still inappropriate.
Well, I forgot. Did you actually ask her to recreate that first kiss, the interracial kiss?
Did
with
you?
Star Trek?
I think we talked about it. I think we.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But didn't she want to kiss you, Jason? Wasn't that it?
It was at the end. Yeah, actually, she did. She gave you a kiss at the end of the interview, you know, on the cheek, which was very sweet. And then she goes, or a hug. He said, "Can I have a hug?" And she gave you a big hug. And she looked at me and she goes, "I want to give him a hug." And I was like, "Oh, this is great. Fantastic."
For anyone who doubts Mike's powers of persuasion, you should also post the photo of him dressed as Kirk kissing the Klingon girl.
God. Yes,
oh,
that,
yeah.
Somehow talking this woman into kissing him, stranger.
at Comic-Con you're talking about. During the Klingon presentation, the Klingon lifestyle presentation.
I have the Ricardo Montalban Khan power persuasion. Will you give your heart to me?
In the 60s. Mike is currently doing it now.
Yes, I metaphorically bend people to my will and make them do all sorts of ridiculous stuff. As evidence that I have two of my friends doing a podcast right now. So
wait a minute. Oh,
but stay or go.
And entertain me. Stay or go. Do what you wish to do.
Stay or go. I do not care. Somebody else. Yeah.
So the episode ends.
The episode ends.
Then the Q&A happens in between.
Yes.
With our script supervisor typo intact.
Yes. So
good catch, Doctor.
Yes. So Kim Miller picked up that. If you look at some of the end credits, what is his name? Something Butler? What is his name? Butler? I can't remember his name.
Rutter? George Rutter.
Rutter, yeah, George Rutter or something like that. Bruce Rutter. Bruce A. Rutter, I think it is. I think. He's a script supervisor, but sometimes it's spelled S-C-P-I-P-T, supervisor. It's misspelled. I don't know what the hell's going on there. we think it's a joke, but we're not sure. But it was there in glorious high definition, you know.
Big screen.
So they had the panel, finally. We all went to the bathroom. We all got drinks.
Did you get that? We all went to the bathroom.
This was a big thing. Well, didn't they announce it with Nichelle Nichols? Like, Nichelle Nichols is in the bathroom right now. She'll be out shortly.
Yes, tuxedo.
Well, that was the same tuxedo man that you're complaining about.
Tuxedo man.
Inappropriate.
Nichelle's in the bathroom right now.
She'll be out shortly. Started in a moment, but Nichelle's still in the bathroom.
Yeah, it was about like a 20-minute wait before the panel started up. Because we all went to the bathroom, and then everyone got in line to get more popcorn, and it was just like...
Well, it was very funny that the line for the men's room was huge, and there was hardly any line at all for the women.
Yes.
Full of sci-fi nerds in the theater.
Don't understand what's happened here.
Well, I do have to say the demographic for the audience skewed very old. I have to say, as I was telling Kim, it was like we're close to one of those PBS specials where they show like 60s bands like live in concert, and like it's filled with white hairs watching. And then
Cream is playing.
Yeah, Cream or Mamas and Papas. And so, yeah. But there was probably like a 80-20 split of men to women. It was, you know, it was Star Trek. I mean, that's... Nowadays, if you're younger, if you're a millennial, you think, oh, man, men and women alike love science fiction, love Star Trek, Star Wars. Yes. But there was a time when it was almost all men. We went to these conventions, and if a woman showed up, she would part the seas because the men were, you know, like doing it out of deference. They were all terrified. They didn't know what was going on.
That's probably pretty true.
It was very true. So, all right, let's look into this panel. This panel is like the only piece of real, like, pertinent news, I suppose.
Yeah.
Was there anything interesting about that panel?
Well, was it interesting? Sure. I think it's mostly stuff we've heard before.
Yes. I mean,
so
the guy
was on the panel, right?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Tell us, Cam, who was on the panel?
Michelle, Nicholas Meyer, and the actor that played He Stayed at His Post.
Peter Preston. Midshipman Peter Preston, sir.
Who looks nothing? He spent more time talking about Witch Mountain than Star Trek.
Yeah, same guy from Witch Mountain, and he also. And I should talk to him. He also Witch Mountain also featured Lawrence Montaigne. So,
right,
who's now passed away, which is not as much fun. But
right, he talked about it with you on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, Ike Eisenman. That's his name. Ike Eisenman.
Eisenman. And also Alan
the most important
Howard?
Panel member.
Was that his name?
Yes.
Howard? Alan.
Yes.
Who did the sound effects for the first six films.
Yeah. In addition to a lot of other cool films. And this was
and
the most important one.
He is important to this panel is because of what we'll talk about a little later.
Right, yes. Because this is the most important thing about this podcast. Nothing else matters, really. So, like as I said before, Jackass Tuxedo Guy says, hey, so how did you get involved in Star Trek, Nichelle? Where people who have been watching Star Trek for 50 years don't know that answer, you know, by heart. And she, of course, misheard him, and she's like, I don't know. They just asked me to come here to the theater, and here I am. And it's like, okay, we're off to a good start. And then, I don't know, who else said anything interesting?
Well, like I was saying, Nicholas Meyer had mentioned something about bringing the script to Shatner for the first time, and about the writing of the script. That was somewhat interesting. They had taken... of how many scripts did he say? There were like three or four different scripts for
five.
Star Trek 2?
He said five, yeah.
Five. Yeah. And so they kind of went through each one and cherry-picked the things that they liked the most about those scripts and sort of melded them together into one massive...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and this is, you know, this is the lore that happened here with he and Harv Bennett, and he was very gracious about Harv Bennett, that they took these five scripts and they cobbled them together in 2 weeks' time. But Nicholas Meyer certainly is a character, and he certainly is about Nicholas Meyer. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
he showed up to both of the screenings. There was one like 3 weeks ago. I guess I almost went to that, and he was there for that.
Is that the one that had Neil deGrasse Tyson or something?
Did it? I don't think so.
A friend of mine went to that, and he was there speaking.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Well, but he was there for that, and he was there.
Go ahead and finish. I was just going to say something about Nicholas Meyer when you have a moment.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that he loves this stuff, and he loves talking about this stuff because he was there at the first screening, and he was here at this screening, and he stayed for the whole thing.
This is his pride and joy. It's a great movie, and he's responsible for it. So, I mean, I don't blame him one bit. I'd be at every screening.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, and it's interesting because I know when he first showed up, he had no idea what Star Trek was when he took on the project. He put on In the 23rd Century so his mom would know what was going on. That's true. In the very beginning of the film, it says In the 23rd Century. But like the other Star Trek actors, he has grown into this sort of royalty. And now he loves it, and he loves strutting around and talking to people and shaking people's hand and taking credit for sound
like
effects.
That one guy, that one question they took from the audience, that guy was just like bowing before his greatness practically.
Yeah.
The one point I was going to make was, which I alluded to earlier, was the conversation that he had with Shatner when he first showed him the script, which was he hated it. Shatner hated the script, absolutely. And I guess it was it wasn't him that was able to turn it around, but he actually, when he heard from it's Harv Bennett, who'd kind of come along and said, well, it's clear that you've got to make kind of these star turns here for Kirk and really kind of play that up. And once they kind of made those, I'm sure, like the entrance during the Kobayashi Maru thing where he comes out in the smoke and this backlighting and everything, that definitely had to be one of them where they really had to emphasize his star quality, and as soon as they did like just a few of those markers, he was suddenly totally on board.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also mentioned later on, which I found pretty curious, he was really defending Shatner's sort of, specific, the problems that people have with Shatner and his eccentricities and his kind of egomaniacal ways. He was totally
defending him. Like that birthday scene.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't want to say his age because then that would not open him up to other projects. That's a common thing with actors, too. There was a whole controversy with IMDb recently about, not having actors publicizing their age. I think in his case, it's a little ridiculous when you're a big celebrity and people kind of know your age already. I think it's a little silly and kind of vain to say, oh, I can play 25, you know.
I mean, although I will, in these Hallmark films that I write, I've told you guys this before, is that whenever we write roles, we don't write for a 60-year-old. We write it, in the description, we put them, they're in their 40s. Mm-hmm. And then they go out and cast 60-year-olds because a 60-year-old is not going to want to play a 60-year-old.
Right.
They'll play a 40-year-old. It's kind of weird, but that's...
And I guess in 1982, right?
That's
when we came out. Was IMDb around? Was it
pre-internet,
so not as easy necessarily to find out how old an actor is.
Like IMDb now, didn't come around until like the mid-90s or something.
Well, Shatner was, I believe, 51 at the time. And he was vain. There's no question about it. He certainly went through some transformations, transformed man from the hair, for sure. His hair suddenly became crazy perm curly. I think Jason
picked
that up.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what happened there? Like, in no other film or on the show, he had no curls, and suddenly he had a success perm.
Yes.
The phrase from Fresh Off the Boat.
Yes, he had quite the weird perm. Here, hold on one second. I've got to turn off this air conditioner. It's driving me crazy. You guys talk for 2 seconds.
Excellent. Finally, we're alone, Doctor. Take over this ship. No shuttle craft for us. We're taking over the main vessel.
It's also separation.
Oh, so much better.
Oh, shit. He's back.
Yeah.
Darn.
I'm going to hear that, and I'm going to
wait for another time.
So angry. I had to have the air conditioning on. It was so hot, but at the same time, I can barely hear everyone. So, what were we talking about? Talking about Shatner. So, yeah, Shatner obviously was a little vain. Again, we've talked about this being sort of his last shot. I mean, if this fails, what else has he got? I mean,
well, that's right. You mentioned that he was very unhappy with the reception that the first film received.
Yeah, I mean, he thought he was going to turn it all around, and then the first film fails. And so they're asking him to do another one, and I'm sure for less of the, you know, a seventh of the budget, although they said $45 million, it was actually $77 million. It was, they have their facts wrong. That's the number I saw, $77 million to make the first Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
And then the second one was $11 million. So everything's going in the wrong way, and he's trying to hold on to whatever he's got, that being this character. So he fought for it. And I think Nicholas Meyers actually was a good person to get as a director because he'd never really got into the whole Star Trek world. Mm-hmm. So he was just directing, you know, like, well, aesthetically, this is the best thing to do. And he's kind of, you know, very interested in Nicholas Meyer, which matched up against Shatner, who's very interested in William Shatner, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think that's the thing I was picking up on was, I mean, when he was talking about Shatner and sort of his ego, the audience kind of chuckled because I think they get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, he was kind of defensive. He's like, no. This is a real thing. And he was legitimately upset about something and it has a valid cause. And he's right in what he did. And I think everybody was like, oh, okay.
Well, it was weird, too, because like that question came from a completely non-related question. Did you notice that? Like, the guy asked a question about something, and somehow Nicholas Meyer turned it into a defense of William Shatner's age.
He mentioned, and then the people just reacted and laughed a little bit, and he's like, hey, don't laugh at that. That's not funny.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He did, yeah.
It's like he really wanted to talk about that, but he was waiting for someone to ask him about anything.
Like, he needed to have an impassioned defense of Shatner for no reason at all.
Right. So we also had Ike Eisenman as midshipman Peter Preston, who's the youngest person, I believe, in the movie, and now older than us. So
it's did have a funny retort in the panel. That guy in the audience said, talking to Nicholas Meyer, can you just direct every death scene from now on? That was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Ike Eisenman goes, which one?
Yeah, he was fun. He had a good time doing this and told.
Although I've always really been moved by that scene at the end with Spock. Spoiler alert: if you're listening to a Star Trek podcast, I've never seen Khan. The scene where Spock dies, I've always been really touched by that scene, and it's always been a very intense and moving scene. I don't think I will ever look at it that way again, thanks to Mike and Kim or Matt who have pointed out the guy in the background who is suffering.
Oh.
He has a radiation poison. As Kirk and Spock are up against the glass with each other, there's
acting
a guy
poisoning.
Waving back and forth like he's going to pass out.
Acting poisoning.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Overdosed on acting.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you watch Star Trek II.
That was my.
What's that? Why can't I hear you guys? What the heck just happened?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Oh, there we are. Can you guys hear me?
Here with us, though.
Oh, are you? Madness, yes.
Okay, are we all back?
We'll edit that right out.
No, no, there's no editing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that that is the guy cleaning the floor for me.
Oh, yes, yes. So before Jason, you faded out, I think, in my thing. But yeah. There's a guy at the end of Star Trek II when Kirk's trying to get into the warp coil room, and he's being held back. And to the right of Kirk, during a lot of the scene between Kirk and Spock, is this guy who's affected by radiation poisoning. But as Kim said, he's also affected by acting poisoning. He's just sitting there. Just gyrating back and forth. He doesn't, he won't stop moving. Yeah, and it's once really you ridiculous. See it, it's the most distracting thing you'll ever see. And on that giant screen, this dude is just like taking control. It's so painful. Yeah. So,
although watching that scene again, I was choked up again. I'm like, geez, come on. I've seen this movie how many times?
I know. Yeah, it's yeah. It was
powerful.
I, as I said, I still think this is for me one of the greatest films in my life. And every time I see it, like I told Kim, I said, "Should we just go?" Because it was like 10:30.
That's right. You shocked me.
Before the screening. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was
it
just
would be
I was
a late night.
It was going to be a late night, and we were all kind of tired, and I was like, should we just leave before
Matt
this?
Had fallen asleep 2 hours earlier.
Yes. Our crew was in dire straits, deployed a solar sail, and so I just said, should we go? And Kim said, no, we have to stay, and I'm glad she did. But every time I watch this movie, it hits me in different ways. I see different things. And when I saw it 10 years ago in the Egyptian theater, I think it was... There was something about it was more about the ambition, the desire to get back your command, and this time the scene that really hit me was McCoy and Kirk during his birthday, sitting in Kirk's house.
That's a great scene.
It's such a great scene. And just McCoy just calling Kirk, I'm like, what the hell are you doing sitting around in this room full of antiques? Get out there before you become one of them. And it's so powerful. And it really hit me. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, during the Q&A too, Nicholas Meyer had mentioned that what he said the movie was about to him when he was writing or working on it. And he had said that it was about old age, which I thought was amusing. I hadn't heard anybody say that before. And friendship, and maybe he said something about ambition or something like that. But there were the old age thing was the one that really stuck with me. I was like, oh wow, okay. Well, I guess as a young person watching it, I did not the movie as much as I have now as I am a senior citizen. but yeah, it does that. That's it's a very affecting scene, and that theme that through the film of old age and friendship that really kind of the through line made more sense to me after hearing him mention it.
Oh, it's interesting. You'd never seen it. To me, the first time I saw it, and I guess because maybe Kim too, I don't know if you'd picked up on that the first time you saw it, just for our heroes to grow old.
Yeah.
You know, from the original Star Trek to see Kirk wearing glasses and, struggling to read a book and, he's being lapped by this Lieutenant Savick who knows the regulations more than he does. It was such a humbling experience for him. And as like a 13-year-old, I'm like, oh man, that's cool. But now, like 35 years later, I'm like, oh my, that's my life. I sit in this garage filled with memorabilia of a 50-year-old show, becoming one of these antiques.
You need to get out there, Mike.
He's like, I do. And the first thing I think is like, I gotta do shoot that pilot I've been wanting to shoot. So, yeah, that's gonna happen this summer. I've told you guys about this. I'll hold off on until I'll tell you after we tape it. So, speaking of which.
very...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go on.
No, that's right. I went through my old stuff, and I found a Larry McCoy 12-inch action figure doll. It's still in the box, and it's...
Nice.
It's really
along
nice.
With your high school prom picture.
Along with my high school prom picture that my son posted on Snapchat.
Which Jason follows religiously, apparently.
Yeah.
Snapchat, Jason.
Come on, man. I follow Kiernan on all social media platforms.
You're so hip.
I kind of had to head that one off because, like, oh, by the way, honey, Kiernan decided to post a picture of me going to prom with my prom date for Father's Day.
That's my mother.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. I mean, it's a big peeve of mine. Of even it doesn't matter what your age is. If you are on Facebook or whatever social platform, Twitter, if you are wishing your parents a happy Father's Day, Mother's Day, anniversary, birthday, they're not on there. What is the point?
I know.
You are just drawing attention to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to get in on the fun.
Yeah. Want to make a shout out to my dad, who I love.
Who will never hear this, but I love you, Dad.
Yeah, it's all, you know, self-aggrandizing nonsense. Yeah. But yeah, when I saw that scene, instantly the film was again relevant for me. And God, watching that film on the big screen again, it's so beautiful. There's so many cool things to look at. Including,
well, it was a digital presentation. It looked really good. It sounded amazing.
Yeah,
I think the first time when we saw the 25th anniversary, as you've pointed out before, the projectionist actually put the film in backwards, so the magnetic strip was just buzzing the entire film.
It was terrible.
It was pretty bad.
I was so excited for that. I was so excited because this is 2007, and when, you know, the whole digital technology hadn't taken over, but a pristine, freshly printed 35mm print. You know, for in the Egyptian theater, this is going to be so great. And then the whole, like, second half of the damn film.
Old tiny. Yeah. People smoking.
Yeah. Oh, God.
One of the big themes in the movie that always touches me is the talking about friendship and longtime friends, and watching the movie, just knowing that these people have worked together for so long, and it's like, oh, it adds that richness to their scenes, especially like the McCoy and Kirk scene.
Yeah.
Of course, knowing all the while that they all hate each other.
Shut up!
Well,
Jar Jar!
Hey, Jar Jar got along with everybody on set.
Misa, boom, boom. Oh, God, I watched a little of that yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God, what happened?
Oh, boy. Well, Nimoy, Shatner, and DeForest Kelly, they liked each other. They always liked each other. And
Jason.
But the way that DeForest Kelly, I think I paid attention more to his performance this time. But just the ease at which he acts is so, it's so refreshing. There's no effort to it. You know, he's just, it's like, I just imagine, like, talking to DeForest, okay, DeForest, you're in outer space, and they're shooting lasers at you, and you're going to cure them with this little machine. All right, that sounds good. You know, like, he just doesn't care. Like, it's like, whatever the circumstances are, it's like, sounds good, you know, you're riding a horse, okay, you're in a submarine, okay. You know, I mean, he just seemed to roll with everything. So that was great.
Especially the Vegas showgirls on the Shore Leave Planet.
Well, yes, yeah.
Hello, Miss Layla, from Lagan Mint Julep.
Was there anything else about the movie that struck you guys?
Yes. Well, we do need to address, because I'm going to have to go here, unfortunately, pretty soon. Mm. I wanted to address what happened after the movie.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have to talk about that.
The table. Of aforementioned sound person. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name.
Alan Howarth.
Howarth?
Yeah, Howarth. Yes. Hogwarts.
He told the story, actually, Hogwarts. Alan Hogwarts. he did mention during the Q&A that because he put together like a demo reel of what all the different Star Trek sounds would sound like the phaser sounds and the transporter sound, all that kind of stuff, he owned them somehow.
Yeah,
because he created them before he was hired by Star Trek, so he now sells like sound effects CDs with these sounds on them. And things like that.
Oh yeah.
So he was selling different, you know, signing posters and signing, you know, CDs and things like that, and selling some items at a table. And Mike approached and had the question of.
So in Star Trek III, Alan, Christopher Lloyd says something right after the Enterprise attacks him. He says, emergency power. And I swear to you, he says, Kirk busters. What does he say?
To his credit, he did not just laugh and dismiss you. He actually thought about this question.
He did. Seriously.
And he said that it was the dialogue editors that would probably have a better idea of what he actually says.
Yes. So he knows one of those guys.
Yes.
And he's going to try and get us in contact with him. I emailed
this is another piece of video that I have from the evening of asking this question. We'll
good
as well.
Yeah. It was. I was.
Have you written him?
I did write him. I sent him an email. He's not responded back. He said, "Oh, just write me at my website." And I did, and he didn't respond back. So there you go.
case closed.
Yes.
Well, it was a couple of days ago. I would, but the frustrating thing was like, because I think Kim was like, oh my God, ask him about Kirk Busters. Like, oh my God, yes. And I was so excited. And then like, I waited in line as all these other jackasses were talking to him about, like, so when you made the sound effect for that, like, no, I don't care about that. That's ridiculous. Why is he at a table selling sound effects in the first place? Get out of the line. Let me talk to this guy. This is what's important. So I finally get up there. I finally launched this question at him. He did the sound for all six movies, 1 through 6, and he didn't know. Like, oh my God. It's like a conspiracy. It's like.
It is a pretty fleeting moment.
I mean, more fleeting than the guy washing the floors.
Yeah.
Which is
now indelibly burned into my mind. I keep getting berated about it.
As the radiation.
I berate you.
Now that guy we should talk to. We should talk to that guy who does the Star Trek 4 punk rock guy.
On the bus.
Yeah. So we didn't get the answer we needed to, but it was good to talk to him and
Think we may get to the bottom of this.
We may get to
the lead.
Yes, this is true. So Star Trek 2, not important, Spacey, not important, but
Kirk Busters,
we are on track for that. So there'll be an answer for you.
Fantastic.
And as soon as we do that, we're shutting down the podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Excellent.
We'll do it on September 23rd.
We will have reached peak podcast by that time.
September 23rd, we're shutting it all down. Nothing more to talk about here, folks. See you later.
50 years, 5 months of podcast.
Yeah. No, we're over a year now, I think.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And now that we have a date for Star Trek Discovery, I mean, this is going to get even bigger. I think we'll probably go to the Starburn Studios and do like, you know, a talk back or whatever it is.
Yeah.
be there, maybe have a live audience with like three people.
Yeah.
But
all the sound engineers.
All the sound engineers, yep. Give me a thumbs up. And all right, so I think we can put a cap on this today, right? And this was just kind of a field report of 35 years of Star Trek II.
Yes.
Any final thoughts?
September 24th, you said, right?
Was that yes.
Okay.
So we are July, August, September, 3 months away. Is that right? July?
Yeah, we're pretty
August,
close.
September. Wow. We're like a
it
little
is your
more...
mission to get on that show.
Well, that seems to be fading quickly now, doesn't it?
It's now that Hardcore Mud has been cast, I mean, there's some real problems there.
You know, I watched Kiernan's really into The Office with Rainn Wilson, and and you know, as an aside, Rainn Wilson and I both did Six Feet Under many years ago. I did it first, and then he got the plum role. He got the plum.
He was one of your rivals too.
Yes, he's been a rival.
Well, he wasn't, but now he's rapidly entering, you know, my solar system of rivals with who else do I have? I have
Paul Giamatti.
There's a couple other guys too. Sometimes Steve Buscemi.
Billions.
Yeah.
The guy on Modern Family Billions. Or something. You don't like him?
Oh no, I like him, but I read for that part too. He's really good. But anyway, so Kiernan's been watching him on The Office, and I see this he's been putting
it on Snapchat.
Has he?
No, just kidding.
Oh yeah, well he's been recording himself doing bits as Dwight. They're really good. He recreates the scenes, and I see this Kelvin Universe version of myself. You know, if I had just auditioned a little later and gotten that role on 6 Feet Under and then The Office, and then I could be Harcourt Fenton Mudd.
Maybe
there'll be some sort of tense contract negotiation for like season two, and then you just step in and they can, you know, use you as leverage.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. I think after they go through 800 other people, they'll get to me.
It's kind of like how they used Robin Williams' leverage, against Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Oh, they did? Oh.
Yeah, well, that's for another podcast.
But they failed because Jack Nicholson got a huge payout from that.
He did, but he actually was not going to sign. I'm forgetting if it was Nicholson or Jim Carrey. Maybe I'm confusing. But I know that they used Robin Williams. They actually had like paperwork, like they were going to sign him and everything. And Robin Williams never got over it and was very upset about the whole negotiation.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I was I auditioned to replace Andy Dick in. Some film. I can't remember the hell it was, but it was a negotiating tactic. They had like a couple of us come in to audition to take over that role, and then he signed. So, yep, there you go.
There you go.
A pawn.
I'm a pawn far. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I know it's been kind of a little bit of spaghetti for this, but I think we finally got it underway. Spaghetti is good. Yeah. I fear the 45th anniversary screening of this, or the 50th. We will all be in those wheelchairs that beep, and we'll just be beeping podcast.
Theater full of beep.
Beep, 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 beep. Well, I can tell you all like that still. But thank you for joining us. We've got lots of good stuff coming up. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be coming up. Hey, make sure that you...
Comic-Con next month.
Oh, Comic-Con's next month. This is true. Yeah. We got Comic-Con. We've got... I'm thinking I'll be at the Star Trek convention. Maybe the Fools will join me as well. That'll be coming up in August. And then in September, we've got Star Trek Discovery. We got it all.
Summer of foolery.
This is a summer of foolery. And you are along for the ride. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand? Anything but dead.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Daddy Lou Odin, sir, at your service.
Your daddy can put them up anti, bomb, sober, emotional.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this.
Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob.
Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you